you leave. So, yeah, one of the great things is when Sue is gone, I go to the grocery store, and the first thing I do is I walk through the chip aisle, and I go, no, 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 and I walk out. And then, for whatever reason, that works. I don't have to worry about chips again. So, well, it's great to be here this morning, and we are going to continue in our mini-series, Living a Fruitful Christian Life, which is based upon Paul's passage in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We've already looked at the first two, love and joy. So this morning we will follow and we will look at the third fruit of the Spirit that Paul lists, and that is the fruit of peace. However, before we look at the Scripture, let's go ahead and let's bow our heads. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His guidance as we spend time in His Word. Heavenly Father, our week has been filled with many things. We rush here, there. You have set aside a day for us to come, to gather as your people, to pause in the flow of life, to turn to you, to seek refreshment, to seek understanding. And so, Lord, we come now to spend time in your word, for you have given us a guidebook to help us to understand ourselves better and to understand what you have called us to do, which is to live a life that is holy. So, Lord, we ask now that you would be with us and that your Spirit would be in our heart, would open our eyes and our ears. Help us to see, Lord. But, Lord, let us not just hear, but let us be transformed by the power of your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. June 1919. It was only about 6 months that the guns of war had fallen silent. And in Paris, a bunch of men were gathered to write a end of war, a treaty. It was called the Versailles Treaty. They were hard at work trying to find a way to bring peace back to a world that had been at war since 1914. H.G. Wells had labeled this the war to end all war. What a wonderful thing if that had been a truism, if it had been the war to end all wars. As the treaty was being signed, it gave birth to something that we call the League of Nations. Now, we may not know much about it if we haven't spent some time in our history books because it happened so long ago, and we tend to overlook history. But the League of Nations was an organization that arose out of man's desire to have peace. It was thought that by bringing the powers together and negotiating in that they could establish a way to come about and bring about this thing called peace. Mr. Wells may have hoped that was the award to end all wars, and those who helped develop the League of Nations hoped and believed that maybe through this thing that there would be an opportunity for man to develop peace. But it was only 19 years, that's not very much time, before once again the world was at war. What had been called the League of Nations was nothing but ashes. But as man came back from that second war, the Second World War, from that global conflict, out of the ashes arose yet man's second attempt to have peace, to find a way to gather all the people together, because it was thought that if we could just talk to one another, we could find a way to live peaceably. That's the great hope of man, modern man, peace. that by our increasing intelligence and knowledge, we can sit down with one another and whatever disputes that we may have arise among us, that we can put them aside through negotiations and through talking. Everyone wants peace, don't they? Kevin, you want peace? Jack, how about you? We all want peace. I remember growing up, and I actually thought about this. I looked through my closet, and I think my wife burned all of them, my tie-dye t-shirts, you know, and I put tie a tie around my head and come in here and peace, brother. Because there was a time when we thought that, you know, there was this group that got together, the hippies, and they walked through the streets and they demonstrated war and they said, peace. Yoko Ono and her husband John Lennon came out with that song, Give Peace a Chance. Give peace a chance. We've given peace a chance. And we've not been able to get peace. Why? Why? Why have we not been able to have peace? If you turn to your passage for today, which is out of the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 and 42, this is Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem. And when he drew nigh, he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. We always talk about Jerusalem, but the name itself means the city of peace. Yet as Jesus is going by the city of peace, he's warning over it because they don't know what it is that brings peace. If only you had known. We think we know what brings peace about. It's a living wage, or maybe it's good education, or good housing. We come up with all of these things to think that if we just meet these requirements, then man will be able to live in peace with one another. But it's not the problem. That's not what creates the lack of peace. The lack of peace is brought about one thing, and it's something we so often turn away from. We don't like to address it. We'd rather address social issues and forget to talk about the very underlying reason that there is no peace. And that is the hard heart of man. Three letters. Sin. The reason we have no peace, it's not because we don't have good education. It's not because we don't have all the nice buildings and everybody doesn't earn the same amount. Because even then, unless we deal with the root issue, we will never have peace. So we have to understand, where does peace come from? When we think about the word peace, we study it. You know, in our language, words have such a shallowness to them. Peace. You know, what does it mean? Oh, you know, peace to you. Peace. We just want everything to be good. When we look in the Bible, in the ESV, there's almost 340 times that the word peace comes about. Some of them are the word shalom, and some of them are the Greek word eirene. But both of them speak to something beyond just a lack of conflict. It talks about a wholeness and a wellness of life. It talks about it can be a greeting. It can talk about our personal health. It can talk about our safety. It can talk about the relationships between men and nations. But the deepest meaning that we find in Scripture regarding peace is the peace that comes between man and his Creator. Man and his Creator. If only we knew what makes for peace. As much as we strive for it and as much as we desire it, we can't accomplish peace. It's a noble endeavor, but it's something we are incapable of doing because we are not able to deal by ourselves with the very reason that there is no peace. And that's because we live in a fallen and broken world. Sin etches itself into every part of our life, into every aspect. And there is nothing, that's what the Bible says, nothing that we can do on our own to take care of sin. We need something else. We need an outside agent to come in and help us with sin. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. This is a wonderful messianic passage. It's one that you usually hear spoken about during the Advent season or at Christmas time. You've heard it before, but I want to touch on a couple of things out of this passage. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let me point out two things that I want you to do and I want you to take out of this passage. Somebody is coming, that outside agent that is going to be sent by God to deal with the problem of no peace. That is the Messiah. It says here, he will be called the Prince of Peace. Tsar Shalom. The Prince of Peace. It's hard to believe that a child born in a manger is the Prince of Peace. But through him, sin will be taken care of. Through him, we will have the opportunity to understand and to embrace peace. Christ. Think back to Palm Sunday. Jesus is entering in. He's a mighty king. He has the right to enter into Jerusalem upon the biggest, the most muscular, the most fine-looking steed, because that is who he is. But he rides in on a donkey. The Roman generals would come in, and they would come at the head, and they would have their big war horses and their army out behind them to show who they were. Jesus comes on a donkey because he's bringing not war, he's bringing peace. Peace. Peace that is brought about in a kingdom that will never end from this day forth. We live in the now but not yet time. The time that Christ has come and he has instituted a change, but it's not complete. And it won't be complete until that day he returns. And when he returns, then there will be that time of peace and we will be in fellowship with God. But as it is right now, we are still in the world that is broken. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world does do I give you to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he's getting ready to leave his disciples, and he says, "I am giving you peace." Giving you peace. Not the peace of the world, but the peace that you really need. Peace is going to manifest itself in our lives in three different ways. The first way it manifests itself is in our relationship with Christ, with God. One of the things we so often forget is that every part of our life hinges on our relationship with God. When our relationship with God is non-existent or broken, then we are unable to do the things that we think we should be able to do because we are incapable of doing it in our own flesh. But when Jesus comes, he allows us to restore our relationship with God. When they asked him, "What is the first and greatest commandment?" he said it was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Well, that was fun. Peace with God. That's not something you can do. It's not something I can do. It's something that only Christ can bring about. Paul in Romans 5:1 wrote, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace. Peace that was bought at a price. The Son of God hanging on a cross. Our propitiation. He didn't go there for himself. He was sinless. No matter what the commentators on TV said, he was sinless. He went there for you and for me, so that we would be able to have peace with God. Unless we have peace with God, the rest of it doesn't work. The second way that peace manifests itself is in our internal life. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Because we have peace with God, there should be a peace in our hearts. We don't have to worry about the things of the world because we know that God has got them and God is in control. I spoke with a dear friend of mine, and her husband was just put into hospice this week. And we were talking, and you could hear in her voice the sadness of her husband at the edge of life. But there was also peace because she knew where he was going. She knew that God was in control, that he had been in control for all of those years. That's what we as Christians have, that ability to, as we come to the end of our life and to come to those final days, to know that God is in control. That peace, the peace that passes understanding because others don't know what it is. Have you ever experienced it? Really interesting. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I remember going down to the Northwestern Medical Center. And I hadn't been a Christian for very long. But I knew that God was in control. That doesn't mean I wanted to die that day. But it meant that I knew that I was in God's hands, whether it was a short period or for a long period. That's the internal peace that we as Christians have, the peace that God Christ gives to us. Too often we think that it, by believing in Christ, it means that we're not going to have any of those dark times. We've talked about that. That's not at all what it is when we give our life to Christ. Virginia Frohl wrote this: God's peace can break through the bleakest of circumstances, even into those moments when we stare into the darkness and the shadow of death. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful idea that is. That no matter what it is, we can face it with the peace of Christ that is given to us as believers. You know, when you look in the book of Daniel and you'll see an extraordinary story, those men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they face some extremely difficult situations. But you know what you don't see them doing? Running around like headless, scared people. They understand that God is in control. And there is a peace about everything that they do. Being thrown into the furnace, they have no qualms. They have a peace about them. The Apostle Paul suffered much for his faith, but he remained at peace because he knew that God was in control. And in some way that he didn't understand, and that's the thing, we always want to understand, but we don't need to understand. The things that we go through are for our benefit and for God's glory. And that's the wonderful thing. I was amazed. I was sitting down in my office, and I heard the song that we're going to be singing here at the end of our message today, or at the end of our service. What is it? It Is Well With My Soul. What a wonderful song. I don't know. Jason, who's the one that picked that out? You or Sarah? Great, great. If I had known that, I would have asked you to pick that song. Do you know the story of that? Horatio Spafford. He was a Chicago businessman. And when the Chicago fire occurred, he, like so many, lost so much. Several years later, his four daughters and his wife were heading over to England. They were going to go meet their friend, Dwight Moody. He was having an evangelistic parade in England, and so they were going to go there and hear him. Because of some things that came up, Horatio had to stay behind. And his wife and his daughters, he put them on a boat, and they sailed towards England. Tragedy struck. The boat hit another and sunk. 266 people lost their lives. Only his wife was saved. But he penned those wonderful words: when peace like a river, when peace like a river. As he was going over the place where the boat had sunk, he was saying, when peace like a river, it is well with my soul. What a wonderful thing. It is well with my soul. You will have peace. Not as the world says, not as the world says, but as I, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, gives it to you. The third way we see the manifestation of peace through Christ is in our personal relationships. We're people that have been forgiven a great debt, and as such, we are called to forgive others, to forgive the debt up that others have. Listen to what Paul's words to the church of Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 11. Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. It's not easy to live in peace, even as Christians, because we're not complete. We are still on this path. We are still on the journey to sanctification. But we're called to live in peace. But the wonderful thing to know is that we're not called to do something that we're not empowered to do. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." He said, "I will send another." That is the peace of Christ that is in our heart. Peace that the world doesn't know, because they do not know it. We don't do peace through our own understanding. We don't do peace through our own power. We can't. We do peace through Christ. Through Christ and Christ alone. What is the peace we as Christians have? Three things. The first is peace with God. Do you have peace with God? The second one is this. It's that internal peace. The peace that allows you to not ignore the tribulations and the hardships of life, but to see the glory of God in them and to know that you're not alone. And the final one is peace with our fellow man. Do you have peace? Are you still looking for peace? If you've not experienced peace, then I'd say come and talk with me after the service is over. After the message, we're going to take and we're going to turn the camera off and we'll have a time of prayer. Then we'll close with a song. And after that, you don't know what peace is, if you don't know what the peace of Christ is, do come and speak with me. I'd love to share it with you. Let us go ahead and close our time in the Word. John Lennon and Yoko Ono said, "Give peace a chance." Don't give peace a chance. Give Christ a chance. Give Christ a chance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come to you and give you thanks that you have sent your Son, the Prince of Peace, to bring peace to our lives. Peace between us and you. Peace that we can face the days, the trials, and the tribulations of life here in a fallen world. And that, Lord, through this Holy Spirit, we can work to have peace with others. Now, Father, for those who do not know you and do not know this wonderful thing called peace, Lord, we ask that they would turn their hearts to your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask this now in his blessed name. Amen. Well, I have been given the opportunity to do the prayer requests today. And so I want to just share with you a few things. But before I touch on that, I do want to touch upon one other thing. On next Sunday, we will do communion. We have purchased the self-contained communion cups. It is sealed. It has a wafer, and it has the little bit of grape juice in it. And what we will do is we will have them down here, and so that when you come in, we would ask that you take one. That way we won't have people milling around and coming up here, but take one and take it with you. We will do communion then in pretty much the same way we had always do it, and that will be after the message. We'll go ahead and do communion. If you have any questions on that or any concerns, please speak with me afterwards. Let me share with you a couple of things that we need to just to be praying about. As you know, Sue is in Chicago with the grandkids, so be praying for her. Grindstone Bible Camp, they're getting ready to get started. Pray that it would be good the first week of overnight. So we want to be doing that. Wisdom for Fall Ministry, that is coming up, and we are trying to figure out how do we do things in this new thing where everything is different. So we need that. Please be praying for Everett and Connie, just continuing health issues. Pray for Sherry Kapoff, as her mom is also in hospice. Be praying for Christians around the world. There's a lot of attack going on. There's a lot of persecution happening. Be praying for our friends up at Treehouse in Sandstone. The Shoot for Hope is next Saturday, so please be praying for a good turnout for that. I also spoke with a friend of mine back in Chicago. I spoke with his wife, and he is now in hospice, and we don't know, but the days are short. But he does know the Lord, and so while we grieve, we also rejoice because we know that there is something waiting for him. So let us go ahead and let us pray. Lord, as we come to you, we need to first make sure that our hearts are in the right place. Father, we are fallen creatures, and no matter how much we strive for it, Lord, we still fall short of what you have called us to do. And so, Lord, as we come to you now, we ask that your Spirit would be with us, that, Lord, you would forgive us our trespasses. Lord, clean our heart as Jesus cleaned the dirty feet that night. Lord, restore us to a renewed relationship with you. And Father, we do come to you and we give you thanks that you are a God that loves to hear the prayers of his people. Not that you are unaware, Lord, of the things that are going on, for Father, we know that you are the sovereign God and that there is nothing that escapes your eye. But Lord, we do come to you and we pray for ministries that are going on, such as Grindstone Lake Bible Camp and for Treehouse, Lord. They serve such a wonderful function in our community, touching the hearts of those that do not know you. Lord, we pray for both of them. We pray that for the beginning of camp, that it would go well, that the counselors would have a wonderful opportunity to speak, and that hearts would be changed. We pray for Treehouse, that as they have their fundraiser, Lord, that it would go well. But we pray, Lord, for the beginning of this coming year and how that will work. Lord, we pray for wisdom as we seek to find ways to go about being a part of this community and how that works in this new environment that we have. Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to find ways to touch the hearts of kids and adults. And Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and bring to you those things that people that are hurt. So often, Lord, we think about those who need physical healing. We think of Bert, Dawn, Sherry's mom. We think of our friends Everett and Connie. We think of Lee. Lord, there are so many in each of our lives that we know that have physical ailments. But Lord, let us not be blind to that which is even more important, and that is the spiritual ailment that needs to be healed. In each of our families and each of our connections, Lord, there are those who do not know you that need to come to you to know your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, give us wisdom as we speak to them. May we be not only a light, but Lord, may we be an agent of change in their lives, speaking to them about him and what he has done for us. Now, Lord, we come to you and give you thanks, for you are a great God. You are a God that hears the prayers of his people. We come to you now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.